What's up, guys? Welcome to the Behind the Deal podcast, where we explore growth through acquisition. Whether you're a private equity fund manager looking to expand your portfolio or a business owner aiming to scale and build lasting value through acquisition, each of our episodes will break down the strategies, stories, the lessons that make acquisition one of the most powerful paths to growth. I hope you enjoy. All right. In this episode of Behind the Deal, I sit down with Brian Dukes of ExitWise, and we kind of unpack what really goes into having a successful exit, a truly successful exit. You know, there's exits that get an LOI and that LOI breaks because the company wasn't ready. There's exits that were, we sold the business. It was nice. But then there are exits where the founder achieved exactly what they set out to achieve. And a lot of that comes with preparation and comes with building the right team around that individual so that they can succeed. This is one of the biggest transactions of most founders' lives, if not the biggest by a long shot. And they should do everything they can to make sure that it's going exactly how they want it to. And they're working towards achieving exactly what they need to in order to consider this a success. So Brian was awesome, super educational. I love what they built over at ExitWise. I think you guys will really like this one. So take a listen. Thanks. All right. What's going on, Brian? Good to see you. How you doing?
Hey Joe, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you joining, especially this close to Christmas and the holiday season. You know, what better way to spend a Friday than on a podcast with me?
All good. It's this.
I'm sure you don't have anything to do besides this. But no, I'm excited about this episode. I think I'm excited to personally learn a little bit more about ExitWise and what you guys do, but also, you know, share some of the insights that you have and the thesis about, you know, around the company with the audience, right? And I think especially the founders of, you know, some of these great lower middle market businesses, I think what you guys bring to the table is excellent and would love to start there. So, you know, if you wouldn't mind, tell me a little bit about ExitWise in general and, you know, kind of the thesis that you guys have and have built your business around.
Yeah, I think it's maybe important to look backwards just a fraction of kind of where we come from, because I think it builds the story for who we become. Everybody that's part of this business, every partner in the business at ExitWise, we have been operators that have built and exited businesses. You know, some like myself, one that became relatively large. Other partners have done four or five. But the reason we came together in 2022 was because we were all former operators, entrepreneurs, built and exited, had seen plenty of success in M&A, had seen plenty of failure in M&A, and certainly had an opinion of how efficient the process was. And as we thought about what our next chapter in our journey was going to be, this idea of supporting our fellow founders, supporting businesses in the lower middle markets, find more success, reduce the risk of a failed transaction, maximizing the outcomes, was always going to be the thesis of what we created. And of course, like any business, you know, the details of how we deliver on that promise has changed a little bit over time. But ultimately, we are operators here supporting founders and really combating this exit failure rate that's unfortunately the industry has kind of supported for far too long.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, it sounds like as former operators, this is a combination of educating and preparing the companies and the founders for sale in advance of going to market, and then bringing them to market with the best possible, you know, banker and support system behind them. Those two things are the recipe for achieving, you know, not just an okay exit or a failed exit. It's the best possible exit, right? And most people, it's amazing to me, and this is something I wanted to get into, how many business owners, you know, there's like a stigma around the preparation piece of getting your business for sale, you know, and this is like an asset that you've been building for a majority of your life. You've put countless thousands, tens of thousands of hours into. And it's probably your most valuable asset, you know, that you own, right? Why not do everything you can to make sure that when you sell it, it's in the best possible position to be in? But there are reasons that we see, you know, in the positions that you and I sit in over and over again, and founders who, for whatever reason, you know, as soon as someone comes knocking on their door, they're in such a rush to get everything prepped and sold. And they think that's their only ever option out. And I don't really understand it. So talk to me about your opinion on that. Like, you know, founders who are just, they go from operating to one day, like being in such a rush to sell, and they don't really want to even do all the work that goes into making a great transaction.
Yeah, I think, thanks for asking that. I think it's such an important point. I love talking about it. I think as founders, as entrepreneurs, as builders and creators, you know, we're a bit conditioned to always being in control of the business, of every aspect of the business. And when for many of us in executive positions, we remember the days that literally everything fell on your shoulders. And even today, in a much bigger business, you may not be doing everything. As a CEO doing CEO things, you are aware of just about everything that's happening at a topical level. So the idea of now I'm going to entrust or proactively go down this path that I don't understand, it sounds really scary, that I've been told has a lot of risk, inherent risk of, you know, my employees or my investors finding out that I'm thinking about exiting, you know, I'm abandoning the team, my biggest customers are going to hear that I'm thinking about this, and that's going to be a difficult conversation. And again, because many CEOs, business owners, and founders haven't been through it before, they just don't know who to trust. And so it's human nature. Like, we've all been there, of things that we don't maybe understand or don't want to do. You just put your head in the sand and keep doing the thing that you're doing, and you keep growing and making money and optimizing your team or the industry or the product that you're building. And like, I'll always get to it tomorrow. Like, there'll always be another day that I can take this on. And then time goes on, and you know, everybody ages, and maybe you build something that is really, really incredible, and somebody comes knocking on your door, and you create, or you find yourself in a very, very difficult place. And not to say that you can't respond to inbound offers or that kind of that stolo that comes swinging by, but I think that there's almost no more difficult process to run than a business owner that feels like they're under the gun because somebody's come knocking.
Right.
Pressure is amplified. Likelihood of mistakes being made in short windows are made. The decision making and strategy around what we're the story we're telling and the positioning and who we're including in the inner circle, like, everything, when you shrink that down into small little moments, the likelihood of a bad thing happening, or at a minimum increasing the risk of a failure, is amplified in that situation. So, long-winded way of saying, we're obviously huge proponents of having that conversation sooner. Like, we connect with business owners, I think much like you, really early in the process. I think, you know, whether it's a function of giving back or just trying to stay relevant in the early stage of these businesses, trying to educate and support. And even if they don't come and work with us, work with a team or get experience wrapped around yourself to start thinking about it way sooner. Because I promise you, it's gonna go so much faster and so much smoother if you've prepared for that process well before you actually get into it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, think about if you wanted to exit your business next year, you know, that could easily be a realistic goal. And you could take 6 months to really get yourself prepared and, you know, get all the financials in order, identify all the blind spots, identify all the spots where, you know, valuations or, you know, where buyers might have, you know, legitimate questions about, and come up with answers for all of those, even maybe try to fix a couple of them. And then you could hit the market in Q3 and be out of your business as successful as possible by the end of next year. You know, and that seems like such a long road for some people, because I feel like it's almost as if founders who are running their business, like, once they get to a stage in it where an exit is a possibility, it's almost like they wake up one day and they're like, oh, well, I want to sell it now. And they want to sell it like now. And then a week goes by and they might want to sell, you know, and they might, like you said, just kind of nestle back into what they've been doing for the last 10, 15 years. But like, these little moments are like, I need to sell it now. And someone just came knocking, and like, I have to take advantage, or I'm going to miss out. And What would you say to people? So, you know, I know a big piece of what you guys do is after the preparation, you try to identify the right investment banker, you know, who is specialized in a certain area based on what that founder does to help take them to market. There's also a stigma around hiring an investment banker, even though, you know, there might not be these egregious upfront fees or anything like that. People are like, well, do I need them? I don't know if I need them. Like someone wants to buy me. What are they going to do? That's 90% of their job already. I already found the buyer.
DIY.
How do you prepare people for that?
It's a big question. Our belief at ExitWise is singularly around industry specificity. And we're not the only ones that preach that. Of course, many banks and M&A advisors focus on particular industries, but many do not. And so we think about the world of, preparation, whether it's financial preparation or kind of broad spectrum prep of your business prior to a process is super important. But when it comes time to start that process, we think it's twofold. One is the banker or M&A advisor that has sold your business before. They understand the buyer network. They understand the dynamics. They understand the multiples. They know how to run a professional process, and they have close personal relationships with a lot of the folks that you should be marketing your business to. That is a huge component. And to my earlier point, many business owners don't necessarily know how to go and identify that banker. They go to their country club, their friends, their family, their local accountant or CPA or attorney, and say, hey, do you know any investment bankers? Oftentimes they're a generalist that, you know, doesn't really understand the unique dynamics of what that business is built. And, you know, it just increases risk. It doesn't mean that it can't be accomplished. It just increases the risk of a transaction. The second component is more, we call them exited founders. They're people like myself and my other partners. We now have over 60 exited founder practitioners at ExitWise, operators that have built and sold their own businesses. We're not classically trained investment bankers. We don't want to be, but we know the industry and we can be mentors and coaches around the process of both prep and exit. So they're incremental to a banker, and they're the coach because much like doctors, some of the greatest doctors on earth don't necessarily have a great bedside manner, and they're not going to spend a lot of time explaining the process or making you feel good about the process. They're just going to do the work. Yet for first-time founders and owners, they want to know what's going on. And so as we think about building your M&A team, an investment banker, M&A advisor that knows your industry, matched up with one of our exited founders that is also built and sold within that industry, is a perfect match to, again, it starts with prep, but to bring you to consummation and help work through both the detailed diligence points of a transaction and the emotional and mental process of going through an exit, which I don't want to minimize.
Yeah. I mean, well, at a certain point after, you know, you get to an LOI, which there's so much that goes into getting a business to, you know, an LOI that makes sense for a company. You basically at that point, you know, become in many ways as the banker, you know, a psychiatrist. And because there is so many, it's such an emotional roller coaster getting from, you know, LOI to finish and through all the diligence. And you know, you have someone who's poking holes in your baby, you know, even though that's all they're trying to do is move fast and understand why you did certain things in as quick of a time as possible, you know. And but most business owners, you know, and some rightfully so, they take it personally, and totally. And they feel like the questions are never ending. And you know, I read a post the other day too about how these days in 2025, like with all these digital data rooms and stuff like that, like buyers are asking for so much more information and able to look at so much more information than maybe they used to 10, 15, 20 years ago, without all the power of like, you know, these digital data rooms. So, you know, they used to, I mean, 20, 25 years ago, it used to come in, you know, manila folders and you just get through it and you know, that's how you'd buy the business. And now it's like just endless questions, it seems like. And that stuff can be tedious, but you know, a good investment banker knows where to draw the line with that buyer. And they know, you know, hey, there's a certain point in time that you reach where you have the information you need to make a decision here. And let's do that, right? Like, what are we still doing here? And they protect their client, you know? And I think that the good ones not only specialize in something, but they know when there's a give and a take moment, right? Like, hey, we're going to give this, but we're going to hold the chip for later when they ask for something, we're going to say no, you know? And like yep. that type of exercise, like you need someone in your corner doing that. You do, because otherwise, when do you know when to stop giving? You probably don't. And you get frustrated and exhausted and that deal fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah. Every deal team is different. The personalities and the expertise is always going to be different. The thing that we like about having the best in the world investment banker for that industry and an exited founder that has been there is it's a perfect yin and yang of exactly what you described. You have the banker that is fighting the fight, drawing the line, doing a lot of heavy lifting. They're some of the most intelligent people that I've ever been around, and they're workhorses. And then you have an exited founder that is more of the coach, mentor, champion, shoulder to cry on and scream at, that says, listen, I went through this exact same scenario. We were on a call yesterday with a founder that was totally off the rails because of conversations happening during diligence. And it's really powerful. You know, we have an exited founder on there that's very, very well known, that is built in that industry and is very well respected. It's super powerful for him to say, I've literally been through this. I know exactly how you feel. This is how this is going to play out. This is why this is happening. And let the banker do his job. Just let him do his job. You always have the option to step away and move on and keep building your business if it doesn't work out right. But let him do his job. Trust me, I know how you're feeling. It creates a safety net, a team that you can rely on and lean into, in a way that, like, this can be a really lonely process when you're exiting. Yeah. I mean, it's lonely to be an entrepreneur. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It can be lonely at the top. You could have a massive building and be a CEO and be lonely. It's really lonely when you're exiting. We had a CEO that we sold the business. We had him on our podcast not that long ago, and he told the story of how his wife cried afterwards because she had no idea what he was going through over the 6 months. He wouldn't talk about it. In his mind, he was protecting her by not bringing the chaos and the pain and the frustration home. But from her perspective, he was just distant, shut down, a disaster of a human that was not participating in any life. And my point there is, of course, you need to build your team to be supportive. You need to be open to that team. But it can be really, really lonely when you're going through that. And so to have somebody you can lean on, whether it's at home or as part of your M&A squad that you're putting on the field, we feel really, really strongly about it.
Definitely. Well, it's sometimes true, it's lonely when there's no one, I'm going through it right now in a way, and we went through it earlier this year with, because you try to talk to somebody outside of your deal team about it. You go home, you go to a family party, you go to whatever, an event, and you start bringing up the conversation and they don't know the real details about your business. You tell them, like, hey, I have a software that is, AI enabled that does this. And they're like, well, that industry is, skyrocketing right now. All I hear about and read about is how much AI and, your valuation must be through the roof. And that they don't know, like, the real, real details about the business. They don't know, that maybe it came off of a down year and you're selling for a certain reason, or there's an investor that's upset. Like, so you start talking to people outside of the circle about your situation, and they're trying to play, they're trying to play a role in that conversation. They're telling you all these things that, like, you don't really want to hear. They don't really know about, and then you start questioning things, and it's just, it can start to spiral and it starts to be this, like, emotional roller coaster. But the way that you guys set it up, I mean, like you said, you have that execution partner and the banker who knows, you know, when to give and when to take, and he knows the private equity fund, and likely he knows the buyer intimately. It's not the first time they've ever met. You know, they've done deals together before, so he can push them around a little bit as if, you know, they're buddies. And then you have that operator who, you know, has done what this person is trying to do. And, you know, it's like running a marathon with someone who's done five of them. Like, hey, this, it's going to, you know, mile 20 is the hardest part, but I've done it before. You can do it too. You know, just keep going. Keep going, just baby. Keep going.
Keep going. Yeah. I think going back to, you know, one of our earlier points, it can start really early in the process. I'm on a board of a business that is in my old industry, automotive MarTech. And, you know, I'm certainly there to give some industry expertise, but they brought me on for one reason and one reason only, is I give a banking view of their business. I joined the board in year two, right there. They were so far away from a potential exit, it wasn't even on the roadmap, but they wanted to be preparing their financials in a way that were easy to understand, and, you know, building out the basics of a data room as just document management so that there wasn't a ton of issues. They want somebody to be able to bounce ideas off of as they grow and they're taking on capital or thinking about additional investors or strategic partnerships. How do we think about what a buyer in this space is going to value? Like, it's not that story is not about me. It's about having the foresight to build your business, understanding that an exit is likely to happen at some point. And it should just be another one of your roles as a CEO, is preparing for that future.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, that's incredibly smart to do it the way that they did it with you, and to get that all lined up and have that be, you know, because you're building it to sell it, right? So you have to have that kind of North Star focus point on, like, all right, well, are we still doing this the right way? If we want to maximize that exit, do it at, I mean, like you said, they're doing it years in advance, and we're talking sometimes about just doing it like months in advance of a sale. So that's really smart. Now, when you start working with a founder who's thinking about a future exit, but they're not actively for sale, talk to me about like some of the first diagnostic things or exercises that you run them through to assess what their true readiness looks like today. And how do you go about doing that? How do you approach that conversation with the founder once you've, you know, unveiled some things? And I'd love to learn a little bit more about that process.
Yeah, that's great. So there's really three elements of the first few conversations with any business owner. The first is what I would call financial diligence, you know, also known as business valuation. The reason I say financial kind of readiness or diligence is because the valuation is inherent in that process, but this is all about organizing your financials in a way that is easy to understand. For some businesses, they put a lot of personal expenses through for a variety of reasons. Well, you need to be able to have a lot of that data organized in the way you know what's included and what's not. And it's, you can do it late, but it's easier when you start doing it beginning. Others have a sense of revenue or what their future projections or forecasts are going to look like, but they haven't really thought about what's the cost dynamics. And so you're pressure testing what that future looks like. And it's just building in the process and the procedure to organize those financials in a way that's almost on a moment's notice, you can produce them to somebody that it actually would be interested in looking. And it's just good financial hygiene. So that's piece one. The second piece is broad spectrum readiness. So it includes finance, but looks at virtually every other aspect of the business. And there are a lot of things that you mentioned. It's operating procedures. It's strength of the management team and thinking through, if you were to go to market today, who would be on your deal team, your internal deal team? Do you have a CFO? Do you have an operations lead? How are you representing client relationships? Or is it just all on the CEO's plate, which is not a good idea? Like, we have to start distributing that load a little bit. Contractually, yeah. Yeah. Right? Do you have your biggest client represents 40, 50, 60% of your revenues? And, you know, it's easy to say, like, distribute your revenue, which is kind of hard to do sometimes. But if there's other ways that you can manage the process to prepare yourself for that future. The organizing of documents is always a funny one for me, because I've literally been in those shoes of, you know, you say, okay, we gotta get all your, you know, your top 20 customers. We need all of their agreements in the data room. And they're like, oh yeah, that won't be a problem. You know, my EA will get to it tonight. Like, you'll have them tomorrow. And then you look in tomorrow morning and there's three of the 20 contracts are there, and you call them and they're like, yeah, we can't find that one. And this one's not countersigned. And I think that one, like, Bob, he signed that agreement, but like, he's no longer with us. So like, I don't know where that one is. And it's literally, I've been there. I've been part of that disaster personally as an operator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming to terms with that years before you have to exit and just putting in basic hygiene is such a basic thing and so challenging as you're growing a business. So there's a lot of different areas. Certainly we could even get into more of like go-to-market growth consulting, understanding, you know, the process for acquiring new customers. There's a lot of different areas, but some of those pieces I just mentioned are some of the hard ones. And the last piece is this idea of industry expertise. And that's where exited founders come in. For a lot of our businesses, they say, okay, like, I'm not quite ready for finance readiness, or maybe I don't need full spectrum analysis. I'd love to have a coach for the next 3 months that is built and sold in my industry that works with me, you know, once a week or twice a week. And somebody I can talk to that understands what I'm going through, they can give me a lot of feedback. And then once we get through 3 months of kind of working with them and understanding, you know, why and how an exit is going to look, now I can go back and start organizing my materials and prepare. So any client that comes to us, even if they're screaming from the rooftop, I have an offer, I need to respond tomorrow. Oftentimes we say, deep breath, call them back, tell them that you're getting representation, need a little bit of time to organize your materials, and that you're really excited about diving deep into this process. And if they scream at you and threaten and say, no, I need it tomorrow, they weren't gonna buy your business anyway. So just deep breath, slow down, and we always put them into that one of those, at least one of those three areas, to get them started into a process of actually, you know, running a professional process.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cool that you could diagnose one of the three buckets. Like, where should this person start? You know, and I think that each business owner and each individual case is going to be different. And like you said, I mean, a lot of the characteristics of these people, though, sometimes are similar, right? They're the entrepreneur, they're the gunslinger, they're the rainmaker, right? If things, you know, if they see an opportunity to get a deal done, like you said, they're going to start working with that person immediately, and they might have that half signed document in place, but they're making money, you know? So it's like, they haven't checked in on it in, you know, 5 years, because that's a paying client and it's a relationship in it. And so many of them share that, you know, same commonality. Right. And, but each individual needs to start, you know, where's most important to them. And then I think it's important that you guys cover all of those eventually, because, you know, I feel like you said, the recipe for the best exit is having all of those things in place, the financial health, the expertise, and the operator, you know, who can help. Now, when it comes to your team, like, when it comes to how you guys go about this, I'm sure you've broken it off in teams. There's a team who's, you know, working with the founders. There's a team that's going out and identifying really, you know, the top-notch bankers. And there's a team that's bringing in these operating partners. Is that kind of how you do it?
Yeah. Everybody's got a different role and responsibility, and, you know, a 3-year-old business, we're all wearing a couple different hats, but the database of bankers continues to grow over time, and our internal kind of capabilities to either have worked with a banker before, have a maybe secondary relationship, or even at times run a bit of a pseudo RFP process in which we're asking all the questions of the bankers on behalf of the founder. So yes, we have that team. We have in-house certified evaluator, lead finance, that has a pretty big team that does all of the inner workings of the financial analysis and organization. And then the exited founder, kind of former operator team. We keep growing that team to kind of coordinate and communicate. And we've onboarded quite a few in the last week. We laughed earlier this week. We onboarded one in healthcare tech. We announced him formally as part of the team externally, and the next day he got a deal from somebody that had seen a post saying like, wow. Oh my gosh, you're an operator that sold to somebody I want to sell to. Like, why wouldn't I want to work with you? Our team is growing. It's like any other kind of growth business as we we're trying to navigate properly, but we love helping founders.
That's awesome. No, I mean, the approach just makes all the sense in the world when you listen to you break it down. Now, before I let you go, you know, what would you tell, someone who's kind of in that lower middle market landscape? Is there anything that, you've seen has changed in the way that buyers are buying businesses or the buyer landscape, or do you anticipate anything changing, over the next 12 to 24 months when it comes to buyer expectations or diligence standards? I guess, some of my question is thinking around like how AI plays into that and everything. Do you have any thoughts around the future of business buying in the lower middle market?
Yeah, probably two different ways I could take that. I'll choose to kind of talk about the business owner getting inundated by outreach from a lot of different sources, at times even ExitWise included. Every day, I'm sure, right? It's the basis of some of your magic, right? But on the flip side, business owners, a lot of them, they're getting so much messaging saying, I know who's going to buy your business. I can buy your business. You have a great business. Congratulations. It perpetuates a little bit of this feeling of, I'm just going to bury my head in the sand because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to answer these questions. I'm not ready. I don't know who to trust. I'm not hiring a banker. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. So I'm just going to hide. And so it perpetuates this situation of struggle and how and who do I trust. And so probably my best advice to combat that really is something that I said earlier. It's not about me or you or ExitWise or DealGen. It's thinking about that future and preparation and aligning yourself with people that have been there before, that have done it before. And if you have a formalized board, try to find somebody that knows a lot about your industry, that is built in your industry, that is sold within the industry, that really understands the dynamics of what you're doing. Somebody that has background in banking or M&A advisory or deep finance, that has been there and done that. Like in my last business, one of the best decisions we ever made was bringing in a CFO that had been part of Thoma Bravo. And we weren't, I don't know that we were big enough at the time to, necessarily play in those fields, but to have somebody with that level of expertise on your team saying, this is what the next 5 years is going to look like, is so valuable. Cause first time around, you don't know what you're doing. You're making it up.
You have no clue.
So I guess my answer to your question is maybe long winded. I do feel a little bit bad for the business owner that doesn't really know what to do, is getting, a lot of these inbounds, some very authentic, some not as much. And I just encourage that, you're the CEO of a business, educating yourself around M&A or surrounding yourself with people that know this space is one of your to-dos on your list.
Yeah, no, it has to be. And I think you bring that up because it's funny, like a lot of the time these guys don't know what the possibilities of even a deal out there are, and having someone who's done it before can tell them, hey, think about like some of the way that the private equity funds structure these deals where they, want someone to get a second bite of the apple, right? So they say, hey, I'm going to give you a good valuation today. I'm going to let you retain some equity. And then we're going to grow this thing around you and we're going to sell it again. And, hopefully that retained equity becomes even more valuable than what you made today. And so there's so many founders out there that don't even know that's a possibility, but And I'm sure there's operators out there who have taken, you know, the lump sum and, you know, moved on, or they've successfully gone through that, and they can educate people around, hey, look into who's actually reaching out to you, right? If it's a, you know, digital marketing agency disguising themselves as deals, that's probably not the best person to talk to. If it's a private equity fund who owns companies that are similar to yours, that might not be a terrible conversation to take, you know, but like, you don't have to jump into anything. It's just like anything, man. It's so hard, you know, when you've never done anything before. I think your advice is perfect. Find people who have and lean on them and get their advice, and then trust your gut, you know, cause just like, you know, buying a house, like if you've never done it before, you have no idea what to do. So you want to get a good realtor, you want to talk to people who have bought houses in the area, you want to find out as much as you can, and then make an educated decision. At the end of the day, it's up to you to do what's best for you. But man, there's so much you can do to prepare. And I do have an appreciation for how you guys approach this whole thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I'd leave you with, we started businesses because we were trying to accomplish something, but deep down, it's supposed to be fun. And as the business grows, at some point you kind of maybe lose that fun factor. It exits should be fun. Building something that someone wants to acquire, in which you can monetize and monetize not just for you, but for your teams and your employees. It's supposed to be fun. But yeah. What is not fun is chaos and failure. Right. And having a deal change midstream because, you know, something wasn't managed properly. That is not fun. And that is distracting. And it's a massive waste of time. I have been there personally. I literally know what that feels like. But if you prepare, just like anything else in life, running a marathon, I don't know. I've never done it. I don't know if anybody would actually say that's fun, but it's pretty rewarding when you get to the other side. Buying a pair of tennis shoes the night before and saying like, I don't know, I'm going to probably try this. Let's see what happens. I don't think it's going to go that well.
No, definitely not. No, I know people who actually have attempted that and it didn't go well. Well, look, man, thank you so much for your time, especially, you know, around this time of year. It's been super helpful. You know, it's been fun to watch you guys grow and continue to, you know, add capabilities. And, you know, I look forward to staying in touch into the new year and seeing, you know, if there's opportunities that we can continue to try to work together for sure. But this has been awesome. I really appreciate the education here.
No, likewise, Joe. I appreciate all everything that you guys do and putting the education out that you do. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.